which means more counting.
Wow. Okay.
Want to count with me?
Yes, but like we're counting down from five, right?
Yes, that's a lot of counting. So I'll be like five, four
three, two, one.
Zero.
It's a zero. It's not a clap. Okay, sure.
It doesn't matter anyway because I use the numbers.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably the best intro that we could possibly have because I have not prepared anything else.
Okay, sure. So, it's the intro. Welcome to Mopperville Monthly. I'm your guest, Phoebe.
That's my line.
I know. I stole your line.
As always, there will be spoilers here. I am your host, Maplestrip, and today I am joined by Beatrix.
Hello, yes. You might know me from the previous episode in which I was Sarah's ringtone, or you might not.
Oh yeah, of course. You have been featured on the podcast before.
Yeah, technically. I mean, I didn't record that for the podcast, but like, yes.
You make a lot of real fun stuff, a lot of strip slays and some voice stuff.
Yeah, I do. I was also coloring Elgunish Shive, and then I got distracted by WordPress.
WordPress?
Yeah, but that's unrelated. Just, I got distracted by other stuff. Long-term projects are things I can get distracted from.
You always have, like, a lot of small, fun things for us over a Discord server.
Yeah, small, fun things are easier for me to complete, which, that makes sense. That.
Yeah, definitely. When did you start reading Elgunish Shive?
Early October 2019. It was either October 2nd or 3rd, because I remember which story comic was the current story comic when I started.
And which one was that?
It was the story comic of October 2nd and 3rd.
Ah, thank you very much for clearing it up for us.
Yes. I mean, I remembered what was in it. Then I looked up the date and found it was October 2nd. And now I'm not sure if I do remember what was in it. So let me just go look that up.
Which arc was it?
It was the party arc. The arcs have been the same arc ever since I started.
Oh yeah, of course. It's 2019.
Yes. Okay, yeah, it's the one where Grace is exuding confidence, yes. That one, now I remember. And, like, the first panel is just Grace thinking, cool and confident, I'm not cool and confident, I just don't care about this one thing. Silence, you fool, she doesn't know that, exude confidence,
oh, of course.
But exude! Hello, welcome to me reading Grace's lines. As far as I know, I'm actually not going to read Grace's lines for an extended period of time. There is that upcoming, not sure whether it's up, there is that Elgunish Shive audio project, fan project, that is a thing that exists. I may or may not be Ellen's voice in it, which is not Grace's voice, unless they're secretly the same voice. Probably not, though. But yes, yeah. I have now read one panel with one panel of Grace's thoughts. Wow.
Yep. I remember which page that was, at least. Why did you start reading Elgunish Shive? What got you to it?
Okay, so that is an excellent question. Allow me to remember using my brain memories. So so you see there's this website called TV Tropes, and it's got a bunch of...
You don't need me to say more.
Okay.
Nah, tell me, which page, how?
Can't really... Like, I was looking through TV Tropes a lot on my Amazon Kindle, Paperwhite. Don't know why I mentioned that. But yeah, there's just multiple pages, and I just scrolled down to examples of this trope, and I'm like, hey, this Elgunish Shive thing is showing up more than one time. Maybe I should look at it. Since it's got, like, multiple tropes.
It does have more than one TV trope.
Yes.
Some might say it has like over 20 images on TV Tropes.
I mean, I am not counting images on TV Tropes, so I cannot confirm or deny that.
All right, let's go into the recent updates for Oak and the Shive.
Cool.
What do you think of the entire Freaky Friday arc we've got going on right now? The mass body swap?
Well, gee. What an excellent question. Do I have I formed an opinion on the arc? I mean, like, I guess the fact that I can't immediately think of an opinion means that it's not bad. I guess it's the general quality we've come to expect.
That's accurate enough. Well, let's then continue on to the next pointer. Since the most previous podcast, we finally got revealed what Diane's spell is, how it works.
Yep, with maths.
With maths. We got pretty close to... I mean, we kind of already got a feel for it. But the way Dan eventually described it is that it's a charisma check. Like, plus points for it. Like, improves your charisma check.
Yeah, with multiplication, not plus points.
Yeah. I already got the math wrong.
Yes.
And the way that Ted found out was, of course, really hilarious. Who ate all the waffles?
Diane ate all the waffles.
Who is the Muffin Man?
Diane is the Muffin Man. And who's a rabbit on the moon? And
Diane
is a T-Rex.
It is.
And yes, I did make an edit of that, in which all that stuff actually happened, including...
If it's an actual transformation, why would I suggest a T-Rex?
Including just the laziest panel where it just added, where are the waffles coming from someone off screen?
Hey, you ate all the waffles.
Exactly.
It was really great. And it was also kind of really interesting how Ted reassured Diane about the spell not being that bad.
Yeah.
Like, Diane was, of course, really terrified by the kind of implication of mind control, and Ted, well, Ted was generally just being really geeky, and that really puts Diane in a good headspace, so that was nice.
Yeah. Although, actually, now that I think of it, wouldn't the TF gun from the very beginning be a bit mind control-y? If it can change people's sexuality, like, that seems a bit mind-control-y, if you ask me.
Oh yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah. So Diane hasn't been using mind control.
But all the other characters have.
Yeah.
I mean, kinda. It was always kind of weird, and Dan has always tried to push back on that aspect of it, because he was uncomfortable about it too.
Yeah, makes sense.
And one last thing, because there haven't been that many updates since our last podcast episodes, but we also got revealed that Diane's ears have turned back to normal.
That is correct.
Do you have anything to say about that?
They
sure did turn back to normal.
Yep, I sure am able to state facts, like right now. Yes,
they sure are not pointy currently.
Yeah, they sure are. The regular ear shape we've come to expect from pictures of Diane's ears.
All of those Diane ear pictures.
Yes. Okay, you know, this is making me laugh, which is good, because, well, like, for the Algunas Shive Audio Project thing, Ellen has, like, some laughs, and I'm not good at laughing on command. So, like, if I were to voice Ellen, I would need to be able to laugh on command. So getting funny things, I've been told, is a good way to laugh on command, so it's great that we're generating humor here.
Well, we always try to do our best. And Ellen is definitely one of the funniest characters, but we'll probably get into that a bit more after the break, I suppose.
Yeah.
But first, I also wanted to ask you if you've been keeping up with NP.
I have. So here I have... Oh, but this is the wrong tab. This is the one... This is the NP comic that we're going to be looking at in this episode. Okay, here. Yes. So, yeah, we've got Grace and the metaphor of two squirrels. Such an original metaphor. But, yeah, reading that made me wonder, is the real Grace also thinking of herself as having two squirrels like this?
A good squirrel and a bad squirrel, and which one you feed. It's actually, that's a really good question, because it's not that out of character. People have already pointed out, especially the most recent page, which is Grace being like, why should I? People are terrible. So many are short-sighted, willfully ignorant monsters who justify their terribleness with blasphemous claims of divine endorsement. Why should I not love and protect the few who matter to me and take from the rest?
Yeah.
And that's... Now we've both done some Grace voice acting, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. We've both done one panel of Grace. But yeah, so... In the story comics, these claims of divine endorsement would be, of course, Damien from the Painted Black arc, but, like, who is that in this parable storyline? Is there Damien in Grace's backstory in the parable place dream thing as well? Yeah, what's up with that? Are we going to find out more about that?
I think it's... pretty common in a game like Fable for a character, for like a villain to have that kind of backstory. Which, honestly, this might be Dan like lampshading the fact that he took that idea from Fable or something. But I haven't played these games in much too long to be
able to. I haven't played them at all, so I cannot really tell if there's any subtle lampshading like you're saying going on.
Yeah, it is... really interesting that, well, for one thing, Grace is already shown as a somewhat morally complex character, which is hilarious in a game that kind of revels in the binary morality of kill or save, that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, good point.
But also, as you mentioned, is this representative of Grace in the main story? A character who could be much more vicious than she is in our storyline if she had grown up in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, if we scroll down to this commentary here, we can see that Dan is trying to explore an outlook that could legitimately turn Grace evil. Huzzah! I'm reading!
it's really cool. It gave me some interesting things to think about, at least. Which is good, because, you know, Squirrel or Parable has been going on for a very long time now.
Yes, as I mentioned, I've been reading for over a year. It's been the current arc the whole time. Wow, I sure am looking forward to the day when I actually get to experience the end of an arc live. Wow.
Don't get too hyped about it. Probably Dan will be doing like a Fallout thing after that.
Yeah, I haven't played Fallout either.
Exactly, same. In other news, besides our El Gunishive stuff, the webcomic Magical Boy, I don't know if you've read that?
That does not sound familiar to me.
Well, if you want to read it, you have like... maybe 10 hours as we're recording this. When this episode comes out, the entire webcomic will be put behind a paywall, as far as I know, because it has concluded, which is kind of sad, I guess.
It's concluded, and that means now everybody will have to pay for it?
Yep, it's not an uncommon system for webcomics to become.
I was unaware of that.
It's a bit sad.
What's preventing someone from just downloading every page before it goes behind the paywall?
It is hosted on Topastic, so there might be some issues with that, but people have already done that. Let's be real here. But yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, I guess go ahead. But
yeah, I mean, I could try to do that, but like, I don't know, would I want to read it twice, or I don't know anything about it.
Well, you're in luck. You still have a chance to check it out. It is not particularly long, like 30 pages or something. They are very long pages, though. Very infinite kind of a scene. It's a really fun story about a trans boy who gets magical girl powers and has to deal with that while actually trying to come out to his parents. He, you know, that's when things go south, and eventually, stuff happens. It's pretty good.
Well, then, I guess you can send me a link here.
I guess I could. I will send you a link during the break. Not that I've even prepared for the break today, but...
What do you normally have in the break?
Well, usually I just continue on with the regular programming and then put something in later.
Okay, like, I seem to remember you put songs in later. So, like,
yes.
I don't know, we could record a song here right now and then put it in the break.
Yeah, but what kind of song would we be recording right now?
I don't know. Quick, pick a number. That's going to be the beats per minute.
What?
Well,
if we're singing...
Four beats per minute. That is...
Oh my god.
That is incredibly slow. It's just going to use, like, one of these online metronomes to pick beats per minute. But if you have one beat per 15 seconds, that's a bit of a slow song.
Oh, really? Now that you mentioned it?
Yes.
Let's make that beat per minute more something like 45 or something.
Okay, so you've got a metronome here. Can go to 45. Okay, that is pretty slow. Yeah, but if you were to get a metronome and set it to 44 beats per minute as well, we could sing like a song here. They're just available online.
Oh wow, Google has one.
Oh, well, I should have been using Google then.
This is indeed pretty slow. Let's make it a bit faster. Like,
hey, how fast?
92.
92. Okay. Do, 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 do. It's 92 beats per minute. This
Mine
is the song.
In
the song in the break. It's
My...
the break. Of Mobile Monthly.
Mine is not synchronized.
14.
This does not work at all.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't work at all.
Mine is
it
not
doesn't
synchronized
work at
with
all.
Yours.
Because the synchronization is horrible.
Horrible.
We'll fix it all in post.
No, we're not.
Production.
I have better things to do with my life.
Okay. Yes, we have successfully recorded a song.
If you could call it that. Oh, this is brilliant.
I mean, there weren't even any instruments, so let's just say... Ah! Okay, that's one kazoo note. That's all our instruments.
This is the ringtone song.
Ringing all the time. If you answer the call, everything will be fine. But if you don't answer, the phone will keep ringing. And everybody will have to listen to my singing. La 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 la, this joke has become too long. La 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 la, this is the end of the song.
You with instruments this time. You remember the song a bit too well.
But it's a very short song.
All right. So, I hope you all enjoyed the break.
Wait, that was the break. I thought we were just recording that so we could move it to the break later.
I mean, we I mean, I'm just going to cut stuff out from that, and that will be the break, I guess.
Oh, okay. That was pretty early on. You mean we haven't even got to the main subject of the episode?
Yeah, that's what we're getting at right now. Today we're going to be talking about two arcs that are very deeply related to each other. They're called Magic Comic Shop and Not a Date at the Mall.
That's correct, and they are EGSNP arcs. And, yes, fun fact, the first comic of the Magic Comic Shop arc, it starts on my birthday. So that's cool. April 13th, 2004, it's my birthday.
As in, literally, the day you were born. It's, you young.
Correct.
I'm not sure if I had a guest before that was younger than Elginishive itself is. I feel like I probably have, but...
Hi! I may or may not be the first guest to accomplish this. Hello!
These are very old arcs.
Correct.
They came out...
They're as old as me.
I think they came out around the same time as Painted
me.
Black or so. And they came out around the same time as you. Yes, that's
yes.
also true. And I honestly completely forgot they even existed. Like, they're pretty good, honestly. They're very nice arcs. But I genuinely, when you brought them up, I was like, nah, these old arcs, nobody cares about them. But they're actually pretty good.
I mean, yeah, I forget things a lot. But, it's like, this is one thing I didn't forget. But, it's like, whether my brain remembers or forgets a thing, it's... pretty random, it seems.
It probably helps that you've actually read NP in the past year.
I read through all of EGS once I found it. So back in October 2019, I just read through every story comic, read through every NP comic, read through every sketchbook. Then I forgot a lot of it, but not all of it. I remember some of it.
So, we actually haven't gotten sent in any questions whatsoever for this
arc. A record number of questions. Zero. A record low number of viewer-submitted questions.
But, luckily, we have plenty of stuff thought up for ourselves to talk about,
So, here we've got a Microsoft Word document using the DOCX format. That's from, like, 2008, I think. Sure.
Well, I mean, Microsoft stuff is not exactly getting better over time, so... Let's just go through these arcs one step at a time, I feel like. The first question I post is related to one of the first things that happens in Magic Comic Book Shop.
Magic Comic Shop. There's that no... one. Are there even any comic books in here? There's a book, and there's a comic, but is there a comic book?
I mean, there's a novel, but I don't think there are any particular comic books shown in this. This is so off topic, though.
No, it's very on topic. We're reading comics with books in them. How more related can you get?
Well, one of my questions is, what are the ethics of summoning fairy dolls in order to increase sales?
Okay, so I am not an expert in ethics, so first of all, in what way could this potentially be an ethical problem?
That's something I've been wondering. I mean, yes. Apparently Nana Says Fairy Doll spell is very influential for getting people to buy stuff.
So it's back to like the mind control thing. We were talking about that earlier.
Oh, I guess so. It's just a charisma multiplier.
Okay, that was... Are we villagers in Minecraft now?
And also, she's being treated kind of badly, but it's really cute to see a fairy doll Nanase doing labor, I guess. What's even more cute is when Nanase goes all cat and starts sleeping and purring in... Ellen's hands. It's so cute.
What an excellent transition.
Yeah, I know. It's so cute. Like, Ellen is holding out her hands and Nanase just lies in them. It's like... Brrr.
Yep, I am. I am looking at that very panel right now.
Oh, it's so cute! Yep. I want one.
Hmm. That would be difficult to obtain. I mean, you'd... Yes, difficult. I cannot... My brain is not able to compute the resources required, but it would be difficult to get your very own Fairy Nanase doll in, any way.
I want my own Nanase. And here you also put in a question where it starts out, and this is kind of confusing because I didn't even really get it at first. But this arc kind of starts out with Nanase reading like a gay romance novel about Nancy and Elaine. Elaine?
Yeah, in part two. Elaine.
Yeah, the second page, we call that.
Well, it says part two up in the top right corner.
I know. Why is every strip a single part? I don't know. It's a newspaper thing, I guess. You gotta collect them all if they're put in a newspaper.
Gotta collect them all, Pokemon!
And then when Ellen shows up later, the narration is like, and here's
not,
Ellen.
Not to be confused with Elaine. Hey, that was actually synchronized!
Kinda.
At least on my end. But yeah.
Like, when I first saw this joke, I was so confused. I was like, who's Elaine?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, exactly. But like, that's type of joke we don't see a lot. Is maybe when Dan first wrote the joke, people were as confused as we were, and then Dan decided, maybe I'm not going to write jokes like this anymore. I don't know.
That's probably true. Dan is pretty good at making jokes that you don't even notice at first. Like, did you know that the very first page of Elkuna Shive, there's a joke where Ted only says one word per panel?
Huh. I mean, I was aware that that was happening, but, like, is it a joke?
I think it's a fact.
So.
I think it's a joke anyway.
Yeah.
The Dan's sense of humor, I think it kind of improved over time. One other thing that Nanase does while in very dull shape is, like, sleep. On her own sleeping body.
Correct.
Which is another really kind of cute, really lovely thing. I mean, I think Ellen describes it as disturbing.
Let me just skip forward here. It's in part 7, or page 7, as you would call.
I mean, I guess it's strip number 7, because it's the 7th strip. If you were to put this in a comic book, you would have, like, 3 strips per page or something like that. Oh my god, I'm starting to talk like you now.
Oh, what? How am I talking? In what way are you talking like me?
Going sometimes slightly too deep into the technical details of every page.
I'm going to go into even more detail now. So here we see that Dan has drawn some horizontal lines. This is a thing that you don't normally see in the later EGS comics. It seems.
Okay, so this is the moment where I mute out Beatrix for a little bit in order to skip this part.
And this is the time when I say whatever I want while I'm muted. Maple is cute.
Oh, I unmuted it so everyone was able to hear that. Thank you.
I mean. You're welcome.
So, Beatrix, tell me, which Futurama voice actor would win in a fight based on the characters they have voiced?
Okay, so, my internal database of Futurama voice actors is not a perfect database. And there's also the fact that there were more Futurama episodes released after these comics, but like, who is the most powerful character in Futurama who'd win in a fight? Then we can work backwards from there to find out who voices that character. Unless the character has no speaking lines, in which case we have a problem.
I guess I'll Google most powerful Futurama character.
Excellent idea. I will search that on an entirely different search engine.
And the top result is Leela. Okay, that's clear.
Ah, what about this other search engine? Okay, so actually we've got top 25 Futurama characters. Well, that's not top 25 most powerful Futurama characters. That's just top 25 list of Futurama characters. Okay, yeah, your search actually gave a result as opposed to my search.
It says here that Leela is without a doubt the most badass character in Futurama, which I think is close enough.
Okay, so now, who voices Leela in Futurama?
Katie Sagal.
Okay. Well,
which is
looks
actually
like,
not listed here.
Looks like we, yes, not listed in the comic, as opposed to Bending Robot Powers and the Lobster Doctor.
I was so surprised to find out that Futurama already existed in 2004. I thought it was purely a 2008 or 2009 thing or something.
It existed in 1999. It was first broadcast in 1999. It's about the first episode takes place in 1999. Yeah.
Oh, now you mentioned that. That does sound familiar. It just feels weird. It just didn't air here in the Netherlands, I guess, back then.
I mean, I wasn't even alive then. I don't really
say. Well, I was.
You were alive.
Baby. I was 4 when it started coming out. I was a baby. Bobby.
Yeah, I was 4 in 2008, which is, we can make a sort of connection link here, because that's also the year you thought it started. Not really sure what I'm trying to get here, just numbers.
I get the idea.
Coincidental numbers.
Well, one thing we can at least say is that all of these nerds are wrong and only the two of us are right. It's Leela, or Katie something. Seagal.
That's
her name.
That's what you said.
Not related to Steven Seagal, spelled differently.
Huh. Okay, time to look at the next question. I have worse transitions, if you haven't noticed. My transition is just, let's look at the next question.
Well, first I would like to get to one of yours. Like, you mentioned, and we kind of touched on that, that there's narration introducing the characters, which doesn't happen all that often in Algunashive.
Yeah, like, so yes, there is narration. It does introduce the characters. If, say, this was your first ever Algunashive arc you read, like, you know the characters' names, I guess. You also have no idea who Elliot is, even though Ellen's introduction mentions Elliot.
This is actually a pretty good introduction to the entire webcomic.
Huh. Well then.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know why the introductions are there, but like, I guess they are good introductions.
Huh. Well, I guess this is a good way to start reading the webcomic. Just read NP.
Well, this specific NP arc, I mean, you've got like 2 arcs before this. That are like, yeah. How many comics? Probably like 18 whole comics or something. Maybe.
Which are also really nice, by the way. It's Ted going to school as a girl and then Grace playing black and white. And they're really, really nice arcs. I love them.
Yeah.
So, generally, really old NP arcs are fun. They're probably more fun than some of the really old. I mean, this is 2004 stuff, so in 2004, Algunashive is already really good.
Yeah.
One thing, by the way, you asked was how, or this isn't actually even in the notes, but the Magic Comic Book Shop, the Magic Comic Shop actually moves into not a date at the mall, which is cool because this is the first date at the mall of all of the dates at malls that take place.
No, it's not a date at the mall. The title makes this very clear.
So yeah, this is a date at the mall, and it's kind of fun how Justin is acting about it, leaving Nanase and Ellen alone in order to kind of hook them up.
I didn't actually catch that on my first read through, but yes, that is indeed pretty much the only interpretation of that after looking more closely.
It's really cute to see Ellen and Anasay, you know, literally hooking up, I suppose. As in, their arms are hooked together.
Yeah, that is a pun I did not think of at all.
Yeah, I'm good at romantic puns, I guess.
I am not good at romantic puns or romance in general, I guess, but that's fine.
It's kind of a shame that Melissa pops up to, you know, she kind of spoils the mood of the entire arc.
I mean, I would say that, yes, she impacts the mood of the arc. Is that bad? Like, if you want the entire arc to be all happy and romancy and such, then yes, that does ruin the mood of the arc. But, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe you enjoy arcs with occasional moments of
Melissa.
Yes. And also, we've got Noah here. We've got Noah's first appearance. Oh,
yeah. I mean, Noah does make everything way better, of course. Like, I don't think we should get all too much into Melissa in this podcast episode, because she's a lot.
I thought you were going to, like, foreshadow a future podcast episode or something.
We're probably going to do a podcast episode about New and Old Flames at some point, which is the arc in which Melissa takes a major role.
It is.
You know, Melissa is, she is a controversial character. But we also got Noah, which is less controversial, because he's the best guy in pretty much the entire webcomic. I love him.
And he's also smacking a sign, which is the narration text box, which is 100% canon.
Yep, it's 100% canon that Noah can interact with narration text boxes.
I mean,
he's too powerful, really.
When I mentioned it in the Discord server, the Algunish Chive Discord server, some people also mentioned, like, it could be hitting a wall. If we look back a few comics, there is actually a wall there. I was thinking, was like, maybe there's just something behind the box. I guess that could be... Oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody mentioned that Noah just could have, like, a spell to make boxes appear that just never shows up again.
Just... I mean, yes. It sounds good. I love the font of the box, by the way, in which his name appears.
Like
so
the first
weird
one, or like the one that isn't Comic Sans?
The one that isn't Comic Sans. His introduction is so cool and so cute, both of those things.
Yeah, especially the very last panel. Look at his giant eye of cuteness.
Yep. And legend tells he has two of those.
Yes.
I wouldn't know, because his hair is enormous. Like, wow. That's a lot of hair in front of his face.
Yeah.
And he looks so mysterious, and that's so adorable. That's great. It's so good. But yeah, this arc is 100% canon, which I guess we should have mentioned earlier.
There's a Q&A comic in Q&A 7 that confirms that. You've left a helpful link here, so I'm going to click on it.
Yes, June
24, 2016. Yes.
Which is actually pretty late in the 7th Q&A, one of the last questions answered. It's kind of important that this arc is so canon, because it deals a lot with Ellen and Nanase's romantic interest in each other.
Yeah. Like, it says Magic Comic Shop is sort of canon. Exactly which parts are canon and not? Because, like, we see in 2004-12-06 that, like, Nanase's book actually exists, and they actually are going to the comic shop, and that Ellen is there, and that this is sort of integrated into the main story, and we know that since Not a Date at the Mall is canon, then Justin must be taking the two of them for dinner at the mall for some reason.
Which arc was it? Which page was this?
2004-12-06. As in, it literally has an asterisk that says CEGSNP Magic Comic Shop and Not a Date at the Mall.
I completely missed this one, so I'm gonna quickly check on it. Ellen told me she might stop by at some point.
Asterisk. Yeah, so, like, at this point, The only thing that might be not canon about a magic comic shop is, like, which Futurama voice actor would win in a fight.
Like, I can imagine that she uses a lot of magic in the magic comic shop, and that's probably less than canon, but I like to think it was canon anyway. Like, the same way that Nanase actually spent time just floating in the air in high school. So yeah, so Magic Comic Shop is just really cute. And one thing about Not a Date in the Mall is that Alan is really hilarious. And it's also a really cute arc. Like, yeah. The whole thing about, we are gathered here today to bid farewell to my allowance.
Are you going to read the entire Alan lines or no? I mean, you've already read one panel.
Though it was only with me for a short while, I was indeed quite fond of it, and the possibilities it presented to me. If you would spare a moment of silence.
Silence!
Hey, crazy lady, the store's closing. Pay for the DVD and get out.
Congrats, you've read an entire one comic out loud.
Yes, I can do it. I also love when Ellen just puts up Ananase's hair to be like bunny ears. Oh,
yeah, so that's part 9, or page 9, as you would call it. Oh yeah, also on page 9, we've got the Lucky Bunny Bounty Show, and it's sold in volumes in DVDs. So how many volumes are there? Well, if we go to the Wikipedia page for DVD video, I don't actually have it loaded up, so let me just...
How many volumes are there for the Lucky Bunny Bounty Show? I imagine a lot.
Yeah, it tells us the... We know that it has 22 episodes. That was in, like, another story comic.
Yeah, but it doesn't tell us anything because anime never finishes the manga.
Well, no, it's a DVD. It clearly says right in panel 1, what DVD did you buy? It is a DVD.
Oh, you're right. Oh, so, in that case...
In
Japan, you would have 4 episodes per DVD, which tend to be sold separately.
Huh.
But in the West, you can often find...
I was just planning to estimate the length of one episode, and now that we've got the DVD video page, we know that the maximum capacity is 4 hours at typical bit rates. So, assuming each...
That's not how it works. Usually, you have, like... In Japan, you would have 4 episodes at most on one disc, usually actually 2 more like. But in the West, it's more condensed into like 6 at most in one disc.
Huh. I was thinking more. If you have like 20 minutes per episode and 6 episodes, that's 2 hours of content. Okay, I guess that's reasonable, but like, it sounds like a small amount.
It's usually also like 2 discs per box, or maybe even more. So if it's volume 1 of the Lucky Bunny Bounty Show, you might actually have 4 discs, each with 3 episodes or something. And that's
12 episodes.
Yes, exactly. And volume 2 is another 12 episodes.
That's 24 episodes. That's more episodes than exists.
All right, 11 episodes per thing.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's.
Now, 11 is a prime number, so this is going to be kind of inconvenient for people who like the same number of episodes on each DVD. Maybe you have some bonus features on the last one.
11 or 22 episodes suggest that it might be an anime series that aired on Noitanima, which is a channel which airs a lot of 11 or 22 episodes anime.
Huh. But I do not know about that.
The Lucky Bunny Bounty Show does not really feel like a show that would go on that channel. So
I mean, I cannot comment on this due to having no knowledge of it.
I might have slightly too much knowledge of anime publishing.
Oh no!
Just a healthy amount of knowledge. I'm sad about Lucky Bunny Bounty Show does not exist in our world.
And we don't see a lot of it in the actual comics, but we see like an entire 3 panels of it here in page 11.
Yep.
I mean, one of them is just ... But yeah, 3 whole panels.
I love that Ellen wants to get one of those bunny outfits. She wants to get a bunny suit.
Which is, of course, 100% canon, since we mentioned earlier in Q&A 7, this is 100% canon.
So does she want that bunny suit for herself? Or for her future girlfriends?
Excellent question. Or maybe she's just pulling one of her trademark pranks on Elliot.
So I think, yeah, that actually...
Yeah, we know. We know that this line is canon, but we don't actually know what Ellen is thinking here.
So is she buying it for herself? Or is she buying it for Elliot to wear?
I mean, that's not what I was thinking.
Sure. I know. Oh my god. I love these three panels of Lucky Bunny Bounty Show. It's great. It's so good. And I guess that leaves us only with one final note for
and
this
what is
specific
the final
one.
Note? I haven't been keeping track of everything all moving around in this document.
Yeah, we're going kind of up and down and left, right. But
no, there's no left and right. This is a purely vertical document.
Fair enough. My last note here is that Dan is really, really good at writing lesbians in love, terrified of coming out. It is so good. It reminds me a little bit of Lumity, or the popular ship in The Owl House, if you've seen that show.
I have not seen that show.
The kind of way in which the character Amity is just afraid to come out, afraid to show her feelings towards Luz in that show is very similar to how Nanase is afraid to come out to Ellen.
I love this. I'll take your word for it.
I love this final strip, which is just Nanase lying in bed.
Page 12, reading part 12.
Yeah, reading the book again. I love that general hairstyle, by the way, which is just the hair kind of spread out. It looks very cool.
Yeah, it will be hard to tell if your own hair was like that, actually. Because, like, you can't look down on yourself.
I know.
While you're in bed. And it's hard to mount cameras to the ceiling and such.
Also, it's just not something that hair usually does, because usually it just kind of bungles up and stuff.
I have not been observing my own hair enough to evaluate that, whether it's true or not.
There's one piece of Elk in a Shife hair, which is Grace and I think Nanase, if I remember correctly. They're both lying on the ground. And
that's... Where is that? I seem to remember reading that quite recently.
Huh.
But where is it?
The only place where I know it's from is the wallpapers that Dan made at some point, which I don't think are still on the website. Maybe on extras. I'll look now.
I seem to remember there are URLs to the wallpapers, but you can't actually access the URLs easily. But if you know the URLs, you can find them. Okay, so scrolling. It's right at the beginning of the Red Alert arc.
The Red Alert arc in May?
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
Sometimes there's still a title of Elk in a Shife arcs that I don't recognize. Which feels weird.
So you can go to the archives page and use your browser's search function, which is often accessed by pressing Control F on most browsers. Then you can type Red Alert.
It's always Shadows After Dark. I always forget the titles of the Shadows After Dark thing, except for Child Left Behind. Oh, yeah, there's the panel. There's the panel of indeed
it's
Grace.
It's right there.
Nanase lying on the floor, and her hair is just all over the floor, and it looks gorgeous. It looks even better in color.
Huh. I don't think I've seen it in color. Time to color this panel.
I'll send it to you.
I'll send the colored version? Great. Less work for me to do.
But yeah, we've gone way off topic, which...
Yeah, that's fine.
I just kind of wanted to end this on the fact that Dan is surprisingly really great about writing this sort of arc. And I love this strip where you just see Nanase not able to go to sleep and just read a book, I guess. It's emotional somehow, kind of. It feels kind of... It has a kind of emotional stasis-y feel.
Yeah, as opposed to the times when I can't sleep, which is not emotional at all. I just can't sleep.
It varies. Sometimes it's really sad. But this one does not feel sad. She's just thinking about Ellen, I guess. Aww.
Yeah.
So that's a wrap. Thank you very much, Beatrix.
Hi. I'm just imagining the outro music.
Well, that's unusual. For someone to just leave now. Well, in the meantime, people can find our podcast on my website, maplestrip.space. You can find me at maplestrip on Twitter. Our podcast is hosted on all sorts of websites, all sorts of apps. The music that you're listening to right now is Our Heroes by Sister Parish. The next episode will be our Christmas special, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm planning it to be about either Ellen or Nanase. But I don't know yet. We'll see, depending on who my guest is.
Hello! Test! Test of audio! Are you able to hear me? Well, okay. Well, I know you were about to ask where can I be found online, so I'm just going to answer that even though I can't actually hear you. So, my username is MinsRafter42 on a wide variety of commonly used platforms such as PlanetMinecraft.com. That's a joke. Okay, but seriously, you can find me on the Elgunish Shive Discord or at u/MinsRafter42 on Reddit. And now Discord has in fact realized I'm not connected to the internet and is now just loading or something. Huh. So, looks like the episode's over, I suppose. And now the internet has severed all communication between us. So, thanks for listening to Moberville Monthly, episode 14. It's Moberville Monthly, episode 14. The internet is not working at all. I am not very good at composing music on the spot. But here is... Oh, what? I heard something. Heard a Discord sound. Wow, yep, there sure is a distinct lack of continued connection to the internet. Wow. Yeah, Discord's just completely stopped. Yeah. Well, bye, everybody.